Tonight, I'll tell you what, in Minnesota, they are getting rid of the snow, but still have the cold temperatures. 16 inches in South Dakota, North Dakota, they were playing with the same thing, and same in Wisconsin. A lot of spin outs, a lot of problems for people. But if anybody can deal with snow, it's the hardy folks in the Midwest. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney hanging with all of yous here across, like I said, those nooks and crannies in territory we like to call scary time, because people are racing to the malls and the shopping centers to get all that shopping done as fast as they can, and they can't get it done fast enough, apparently. That's why all the parking spots are taken up, and when you go to the mall, there's so much pushing and shoving and craziness happening there. So it's, you know, it's the high time, and it's just going to get worse as we get closer and closer to the actual holiday. We're right in the middle of Hanukkah right now, and we're in the middle of what's going to happen with the fiscal nonsense that's happening in D.C. It's nonsense because we're not really ultimately attacking the deficit. What are we doing here, and what are we creating? So are we creating the climate where more jobs will flourish? Are we creating an atmosphere of more problems? And I think the answer is we have more problems ready to smack us right in the face. The Boehner-Obama talks have definitely heated up. They're supposedly more serious. Over the weekend on Sunday, the two spoke, trying to figure out a way to avoid the economics that are hanging in the balance. But they're not talking about the specifics yet at this point. Will the deadline come sooner, or will it come later? When I say that, is there going to be some kind of a press conference and a shocker that, boom, hey, we've solved this complicated riddle? Or is it going to be more like, you know what, we're waiting till 2013, Congress changes, and we're going to figure out a way to kind of put a little bit of a Band-Aid on this? But I don't think you can put a Band-Aid on it, and that's part of the problem. And, you know, the president is saying he's not going to compromise on taxes. The Republicans insist there has to be a compromise, and they want to slash in spending. Is there somewhere in between, a number in between, kind of like a wicked game of negotiating? You go back and forth. Here's the number. Here's my number. Here's your number. Is there a chance that there's some kind of ground that both will give into? And in the end, is it going to matter to you and I? Is it going to ultimately take down the deficit? Is it, or start to attack it anyway? Is it going to end up forcing Congress to come up with yearly budgets that meet at least some of our expectations? Or what? At this point, don't hold your breath. Let's put it that way. What's very, very scary, I think, is as we continue down the path of health care, is some of the misconceptions as to what really is going on with healthcare, and the fact that the healthcare exchanges are not, they're being refused by a lot of the governors to actually put them together. What happens when we get to the individual mandate in 2014? And then there's a story that broke about the Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, who's awarded a couple of healthcare contracts, or at least one that was reported in the Weekly Standard, to a friend. And so what does that mean? It's a large contract to build a hub for insurance to help run the Federal Health Insurance Exchange. And that would be more than cronyism, I would think. I would think they could call her on the carpet on that. It's been a really hairy year for Sebelius, where she's cut it close on a couple of key things that she wasn't supposed to do, like endorse the president, if you remember, because of her position and endorsing. She actually endorsed another candidate, and I think that was really where she got in trouble, the endorsing the other candidate. So the Health and Human Services deal is drawing the attention of the Senate Finance Committee. And Orrin Hatch is, of course, the ranking Republican there. He's asked the bill used for information, and she hasn't complied with any of the requests or the deadlines or any of that kind of stuff. Because remember, the HHS contracts with private healthcare companies to help build and then ultimately police these exchanges that the company is going to have to compete for business, because that's what they're going to do. It's not, it's not a charity. It's a money-making thing. And like I said, many of the governors have refused to set these up. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when we get closer to the individual health mandate being a requirement, forcing you to get, you know, forcing you ultimately to get health care. What happens when your state hasn't set it up? That could be pretty tough then. How are you expected to get health care when there isn't an outlet for you to buy that health care? And it's supposed to be affordable health care is the other part of it. It has to be affordable or you'll just take the fine, which is what seemingly a lot of people may end up doing because they won't be able to afford it, especially if the exchanges aren't even set up. All right, we got some shocking news, I think, when it comes to the safety on the highways. And I would think if I asked you this question, what do you think? Are we safer on the highways? Do we have more deaths on the highways now than we did 60 years ago? What would you tell me? I'm thinking a lot of you would tell me that there are more deaths on the highways, but in fact that would be wrong, because in 2011 the number of people killed in their cars or SUVs or whatever and the miles traveled was the lowest ever. Do you believe it? The Department of Transportation released those numbers, and I was stunned when I got the email from them. And they're crediting a couple of things. They're saying technology and education is making it safer, like the click-a-ticket thing they believe is working. They think that's happening, or drive sober or get pulled over is another one they say is absolutely working. And they're finding that the fatalities, the deaths declined by 4.6% for the people of passenger cars and light trucks. That's good news. Deaths in crashes involving drunk drivers dropped 2.5% in 2011. So taking 9,878 lives compared with over 10,000 in 2010. But here's the other caveat to that. Americans drove fewer miles in 2011 than 2010. So you could look at that and see what it equals out to be if you were analyzing, I think, the numbers of the two things. And to me, the scariest statistic of all is the number of people that are killed in distraction crashes. That actually rose. People are more distracted than ever, whether it's texting, talking, doing something else where they're not paying attention to the road. So actually that one category went up. Ooh. Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, some O&E. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800, but your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
What you need is a package that keeps taxes where they are for middle-class families. We make some tough spending cuts on things that we don't need. And then we ask the wealthiest Americans to pay a slightly higher tax rate. And that's a principle I won't compromise on. People have a lot of different views. I'm willing to compromise a little bit.
All right, he says he's willing to compromise a little bit. That would be the Presidente. So I'm thinking the tax rate goes from 35 to the wealthiest Americans up to maybe 37. That's already been thrown out there, that number. That, okay, so we can look at the possibility of the compromise number being just a little bit less, so then I can say that I still was able to get more money out of the rich people. But then what is slashed from the entitlements? I don't know. I hate going on the air and even saying, I don't know. But really, I don't have a great feel for this. Even with sources I have at the Pentagon, because they're worried about what's going to happen with the automatic spending cuts that would happen, that would hit the military. They're concerned about that. But they don't have a great feel for what's happening, other than they're updated constantly on meetings that are taking place through, you know, Panetta and letting them know basically, okay, here's what's happening on our end and these are the discussions. But there's nothing concrete at this point. There's nothing concrete, just more rumors than anything else, because I'll tell you, the meeting between Boehner that I mentioned at the top and Obama, very little leaked out of that. In fact, really nothing leaked out of that, which is amazing. We'll know the story if there's some kind of compromise. We'll know that probably sooner rather than later. But at this point, we don't know. One thing we can be sure of is people in Colorado can legally get stoned now. So Colorado and Washington State are two places where you can't walk down the street with a joint. But you could be working and be stoned, which would be interesting, wouldn't it? Because could you get accused of that? And maybe you're not really stoned, but you have that glassy-eyed look and you're eating your neighbor's food like nobody's business, and the people around you can't understand how you would even dare to do that. But how are they going to know when people are driving stoned? How are they going to know when people at work are trashed? What are they going out back to smoke a marijuana cigarette? The answer is I doubt they would do that. So in trying to enact this, Colorado is going to have the same problem that Washington State has. And trust me, you have all the eyes of California on this legalized marijuana law to see, one, if it gets challenged, two, how it gets implemented, and three, if it makes any difference in what's happening in the courts. Because one of the theories is all this little criminal sidebar stuff that doesn't amount to anything will go away, and so that'll be gunked out of the criminal courts, and it'll make some more room for serious cases. So that won't tie up the courtrooms, because that's part of the problem. There's always such massive backup. So maybe they won't have that backup because of the legalized marijuana. Or does it lead to more problems? Does it become a gateway drug for, this is what the rehab people will pay attention to, is it really an overwhelming amount of people who end up doing other hard drugs because they have the option of the legalized pot in either one of those states? Will they see any kind of a spike in that? And I think they won't see a spike. I don't think they're going to see a spike with the small amount. I don't see that. But the governor signed on Monday the bill that became a law, so it makes pot legal in Colorado. Now, there really is something to the Rocky Mountain High. They have in Colorado and in Denver lots of legalized medical marijuana shops, but now you're going to have other people who are going to be able to smoke pot with this new law, and it's just the enforcement of the other side of this. I think that's going to be so tough, because it's not like people are going to say, okay, great, well, I'll just smoke my little weed in my house. Some, but there's going to be plenty of people that are going to push the envelope. And then where are they getting the pot from? Because you have to have a prescription to get the medical marijuana. Although I can tell you this for sure, the last time that I was in Manhattan Beach, you can find people walking around the beach willing to give you script so you can go get medical marijuana, which I'm not finger pointing, but I'm assuming that it may be someone connected to some of those shops. And in the case of finding pot, whatever amount, whatever size, you know, the people are looking for, and of course there's a certain amount they're allowed to have, which is very small, but where are they buying it? Are they asking the kid down the street that they suspect of smoking pot, where can I buy some pot? Are we going to see that people who normally don't at all partake in any kind of drug use suddenly decide that they're gonna get high? Or is it just kind of, does this recreational use of marijuana just a month after the state passed an amendment in favor of it, does it just show that, you know, some people now that are over 21, Amendment 64 gives them the right, they're gonna just try it and you don't have to worry about it? Or is it going to just open the floodgates for other things? Now, it is illegal to buy or sell marijuana in any quantity in Colorado or to consume it in public. So the governor, Hickenlooper, who opposed the amendment in the run-up to Election Day, said that the start of the 24-member task force that would begin work immediately, of course, to help the state navigate federal law and establish how citizens can actually legally purchase and sell marijuana, because that's where the tricky part comes in. Remember, he was famous for saying back on Election Day, it's too soon to break out the Cheetos, making reference to people getting stoned and eating everything in sight, probably, which was the Cheeto remark. But just because it's kicked in, growing, selling, possessing any amount of marijuana is still illegal under federal law, and he keeps emphasizing that. So that will be what they dictate to the police force And Colorado said they're going to, Hickenlooper says he's going to work to enforce the law and make sure that Colorado operates in accordance with the federal government. But moving forward with 64 is going to be a lot tougher, I think, than he realizes, because there's just too many vague generalities in this law. And it's kind of a learn-as-you-go prop, but that can't be the way people are treated, learn-as-you-go, because how are they going to, if legally it's illegal what they're doing, then they would be nabbed for it. So how do they get the break? Where are they getting the break until they understand where they can buy marijuana and all that other sort of stuff? So they're serious about this, realizing that this is going to get out of control fast in that state. So their first public meeting, they just appointed all these people, is December 17th. And then they're reporting their recommendations to the governor's office no later than the 28th of February, which is a good thing, because they'll be able to report and ask for some specifics. When the governor opposed the amendment, he said that legal marijuana could increase the number of children using drugs and would distract from efforts to make Colorado the healthiest state in the nation. Well, certainly not if they're getting trashed and then they're reaching for Cheetos or reaching for Hostess cupcakes or whatever it is that they're doing, which was what he was alluding to. So we knew this. We knew that in Washington, and we knew that in Colorado they were gonna be the lab rats and test out all the theories about how to get pot and what happens with it and all that kind of stuff. So as this rolls out, more of that will become apparent as to what has to be tweaked and what can be left alone. And you know, ultimately, are people going to push the line so far, and who are going to be your perpetual criminals, I guess, when they go over the top? Who are those offenders? Who are going to be those perpetual offenders who don't follow the letter of the law? I guarantee you're going to have some people that are going to try to smoke in public and have to get a slap on the wrist that, no, this does not mean that you can. It's like a beer. You can't have an open container wandering all over the place and then get behind the wheel. What a dead giveaway that would be. Hey, did you have that marijuana cigarette? Where'd you get it? Where can I score some pot? Wonder if they'll release in the paper a list of places that you can get marijuana. Or maybe they end up figuring out a way where you could go to a pot dispensary. Ooh. For a real stoner, that would be like heaven, nirvana, to be in one of those kind of shops.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com. Toll free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
All the nooks and crannies to not only call the show if you want to vent, throw in your two cents or whatever you want to share at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. But I also say sometimes you got to form your thoughts, so send me an email. And so many people take me up on this. I say it each and every time, but it's really true. Of all the places that I've ever been on any airwaves, I've never seen so much email. So bravo to all of you, because the email is always so, so thoughtful. AmericaTonight.net, click on contact, and bada bing, you are in just like that. So having said it, let's go to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Oh, it looks like our poor guy is freezing in Minnesota. Can he try that again?
You have mail, mistress.
There he goes. We're not paying this guy enough. Wonder if he's unionized. Minnesota, right-to-work state or not? I actually don't know the answer to that question. I'll have to figure that out. Okay, so here's our first one. This is from Joe in Burlington. That would be in Vermont, I'm assuming. Joe says, Kate, have you heard the story about those bozos, the shock jocker idiots from down under who pranked the nurse who killed herself? She was in the ward where Kate Middleton was and apparently gave out too much information. She probably couldn't handle all the pressure. It's not a definite that's the reason why she did it, but you could only assume. I hope that they were sacked for what they did. Yeah, it's an interesting discussion on how far is too far and how do you know what somebody's line is. That, you know, they say the two Australians said that they had terrible accents. They were posing as Prince Charles and the Queen, but their accents were brutal, so the woman should have known. It was Mel Gregg and Michael Christian, that's their names, and they do a morning show on radio in Australia. And here's what the Australian DJs had to say over that prank.
Just a simple, harmless phone call that, you know, when we thought about making a call, it was going to go for 30 seconds. There was just, we were going to be hung up on. And that was it. At every single point, it was innocent on our behalf. And it was just something that was fun and lighthearted and a tragic turn of events that I don't think anyone could have ever predicted. Naturally, we're shattered. We're people too.
We thought 100 people before us would have tried it. We just thought it was such a silly idea, and the accents were terrible. We, not for a second did we expect to even speak to Kate, let alone have a conversation with anyone, that I wanted to just reach out to them and just give them a big hug and say sorry. They're okay, I really do. There's not a minute that goes by that we don't think about her family and what they must be going through. And the thought that we may have played a part in that is gut-wrenching.
All right, so that prank, of course, lots of people outraged over it, which is, I'm assuming, why I got that note from Joe, because he's heard the story. It's pretty much everywhere. There's a Facebook page, and on the Facebook page it says, one of the posts says, blood on your hands, this death is on your conscience. The pair, I believe that the pair didn't think that that was going to happen, of course. They came up with the idea because the hot topic was Catherine's pregnancy, and they certainly never thought they would get all the way through, but they did. So then this, you know, becomes part of the conversation about shock jocking. And like I said, is there a line somewhere? They played an involvement in her death, because I believe she was pummeled afterwards, probably threatened with her job, who knows, because she gave information she shouldn't have given. The two that you just heard there were taken off the air, by the way, by their network. They're not even saying when they are going to return. However, our pal from with the Jack Down Under, our pal with the connections in Australia, who actually I think at one point may have even worked for the same company, says that this is just, their contract is already up, their year is already up, so he says they'll be back because there's people who have done worse, apparently, and they have been backed too. So how about that? You know, in a million years, would they have thought that they would have gotten through and gotten as far as they did? But you know, I guess that's always the risk. She was 46 years old, Jacinta Saldana, who was the one who picked up the call ultimately and gave all the personal information, and then committed suicide on Friday. All right, so let's go to another one. This one from Dennis McMahon, resident squire in Vermont. He always writes us such thoughtful notes. And his note was, the tragic death of Jenny Rivera brings to mind so many other famous people who have been killed in small plane crashes. Performers, politicians, movie stars, corporate magnates, from the day the music died to Senator John Tower and many other members of the U.S. Senate. What is it that makes small planes so dangerous, and why this death is so frequent in terms of famous people might be a discussion of interest. Dennis, thanks for that. Yeah, it is the deal of, you know, what's the scoop with, like, Payne Stewart's plane? He's on a Learjet, and then everybody on the jet passes out. It was that weird thing that cabinized the pressure something happens in the cabin, and from the pilot all the way back, they're out. There's nothing you can do, and then the plane crashes. And there's been lots. He's right. There's been lots of famous people that have died in plane crashes. You know, thinking of like Patsy Cline from, if you go way back, country singer, famous country singer. And, of course, Ritchie Valli. You remember Ritchie Valli was part of that crew saying the day the music died. And there have definitely been many politicians who have suffered the same fate. Oh, you know what? It's different when you're in smaller planes because of sometimes who the pilot is, the checking of the weight on the plane. Remember the singer, because there was too much weight on the plane? I can't even think of her name now. It happened in one of the Caribbean islands. But there are lots of different reasons why the smaller plane, maybe the familiarity of the pilot with the aircraft, and maybe it's a little more lax, certainly more than commercial flying. It would have to be. But then you could also make the argument. I know a lot of private pilots who are excellent. And certainly this, they would say, oh, that's nonsense. That hasn't happened with, any of us. But the smaller planes also, it depends. I mean, it's not so much single engine, but what do they have on board the aircraft? And what about visibility and maybe pushing the limits? Remember JFK, who wasn't instrument trained, and then he's flying to his cousin's wedding, and it turns out to be a funeral for him, his wife, and his sister-in-law, because that plane ends up going down. So there's various reasons why those planes have crashed. But I guess if you were to make an entire list, it would definitely be kind of eerie. All right, let's go to the next one. This one is from Bill in Ottumwa, and that would be in Iowa. And Bill says, you know, Kate, this whole thing with this fiscal cliff debacle, cutting and deficit spending, it's just too much. I think in America we are tired of hearing the same thing, and maybe that's part of the reason why they beat us over the head with it constantly, because we'll just go into sort of a frozen shock, and I guess ultimately I believe that's what the politicians want. But if you really look at it, when you talk about the cutting and the spending, and if you look at the repeal of like the Bush tax cuts, that would only raise $47 billion in a decade. So who are they fooling, thinking, what are we actually going to really do here anyway by some of the things that they're suggesting? How much money? It's not fiscal responsibility, it's fiscal irresponsibility. Well, yeah, this whole thing with the cutting and the taxing and what are we going to do? And, you know, the thing that's been interesting is demanding the tax hikes and saying that we'll give a little bit with the entitlements. And then if we repeal the tax cuts, the Bush tax cuts, that'll help what ails us, because then we can, you're giving a little here, we're giving a little there. But when you add up the numbers, it is true. If you add up the numbers, according to even the Congressional Budget Office, the federal government's going to run a deficit of $292 billion for the first 2 months of 2013. So do you know how much that is? That is $4.8 billion, if my numbers are right, $4.8 billion borrowed every day. Every day. Oh, is that insanity? So we are talking about minuscule amounts when we're talking taxes and cutting. Ultimately, the amount of money is so outrageous, and that's the problem. We are so far down the rabbit hole. Some would say we are too far down the rabbit hole. All right, so you get the gist of this. You send me your thoughts, and of course, we talk about them here on America Tonight. It's very easy to do, to be part of the mailbag, because we go to it each and every show. All you have to do is send us an email. And how do you do that? Well, all roads lead to the website. You can also sign up for Facebook and Twitter. Go to americatonight.net. We'll be right back.
comes another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is physician strength oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in four sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa for a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities. Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes. All food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more. All more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com. The big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
Lady, welcome back to the show. We're always talking about getting ready for retirement. Why? Because it is so scary when you don't have a net and when you have no planning, whether you are 30, 40, 50, 60, or however old you are. Mike Bonacorsi comes on with us a couple of times a month. He's a certified financial planner, author, and public speaker. He rocks. His book is Retirement Readiness, Creating Your Vision, Knowing Your Position, and Preparing for Your Future. You could win a copy of it, so stay tuned for more on that. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Good, good. How about yourself, Kate?
I am excellent. You know, it is all about planning, and that's the one thing that constantly comes up with us. And I know you know the commercials, and I've mentioned them before, but I think that the commercials were so successful for IMG that it's really stuck in our brains. What's your number? You know, people walking around with these big numbers, and then other people that they would talk to who would say, well, I'm just waiting to see if I win the lottery or, you know, some cockamamie thing to kind of illustrate the point of, hey, you better know what that number is versus I'm just going to roll the dice and see what happens. And we talk all the time about people who don't really have any idea how much they're going to need to retire. So how can they determine, the people listening right now, how much money, how much income they'll need when they decide that they're going to retire?
Well, you know, I think, Kate, most people out there really don't have a good handle on what it costs them to live each month, where their money goes. And I think one of the first steps they need to take as they get retirement ready, as they start to prepare, is to really take a good hard look at their spending patterns and their needs for income and really find out how much money they're actually spending each month. Where is my money going? How much do I need to actually live on? And how much money am I spending because I want to, you know, because I have, I want to enjoy myself. So I think the first thing that people really need to do is to determine how much income they're going to need is to really do the old-fashioned budget. Just take out a sheet of paper, maybe get a notebook, keep it in your pocket for a month or so, and keep track of how much money you're spending. Take a look at your fixed expenses. Perhaps you have a mortgage, car payments, things like this, insurance premiums. Take a look. What is this costing you each month? I like to divide expenses into two categories. The first one is what I call the necessary expenses, and then there's the lifestyle expenses, those more discretionary expenses. And get a handle on what it is you're spending each month and how much you actually need, how much income you're going to need to offset those expenses. Once you've determined that, and also, something else that's important is some of these expenses will disappear over time. Perhaps the mortgage will be paid off or the car will be paid off. Get that on a timeline, too. That'll be important because that can make a big difference in what you'll need. Once you determine what that number is, then you can back in to how much you think you're going to need on a lifetime basis. Take a look at your income streams, Social Security, pensions, things like this. These will help you determine how much regular income you need, and then you'll be able to determine how much money you're going to need to supplement that current stream of income.
Yeah. Here is a couple of great questions. This happened with my mom. Pay attention, people, because I know a lot of you are in this boat. What happens when you sign up early for Social Security at age 62, and then you have a chance at working a few hours a week? Does that affect your benefit? There is massive confusion on this one. What happens?
Yeah, I know. And you know, that's a great question at this time of year, Kate, because this is the time of year not only have people taken a look at what they've done in the past year, where they are in the past year, but they're also setting a plan for the following year. So there'll be a lot of people out there that are thinking, hey, you know, maybe next year will be the day, the year I leave work. I'm 62 years old. Should I take Social Security? Should I not take Social Security? What are the consequences? Well, in 2012, if you started taking Social Security before full retirement age, and let's assume the full retirement age was 65 just for an easy number to work with. Right now, full retirement age for people is between 65 and 67 years old. So let's assume that your full retirement age is 65 and you start taking your Social Security benefit at 62, but you're still working. Well, if you earn more than $14,640 in 2012, your Social Security benefit will be reduced $1 for every $2 earned over that threshold. In 2013, it goes up to $15,120. Now, what that means is this. Suppose you earned $23,640. You're 63 years old, and you're collecting Social Security. You've earned $9,000 more than the $14,640, which is the 2012 threshold. What that means is that your Social Security benefit will be decreased by $4,500. Now, once this money is decreased, once you give up this piece of benefit, don't despair, because eventually it will be put back into your benefit at full retirement age and spread out over your lifetime. So you do get the money back into your benefit at age 65 or your full retirement age. But you will see a reduction in benefit each year. And each year there's a calculation that will go back and recalculate how much benefit reduction you'll see based on your earnings.
Okay, so that makes sense. So you have to definitely keep that in mind. Now, you go from that to the people who were lucky enough, and there are many people that do still fall into this category, certainly people that are in their 60s and even creeping into their 70s. What happens when you get a pension from your other job, your old job? Does this make a difference in all of what we're talking about?
Right. There are some earnings out there that don't affect this reduction. And, you know, to take the reduction even a step further, Kate, if you are still working in the year that you turn your full retirement age, you're still working, your benefit is reduced by $1 for every $3 earned, and then the month you turn full retirement age, you can work as much as you want from that point on with no reduction in benefit. Now, there's a lot of incomes out there that's not included in the calculation. Basically, when they look at the calculation, what they consider income for this reduction is money, is W-2 earnings, wages that you receive from working from an employer, or wages that you earn as a self-employed person. Pensions, retirement pay don't count towards this earning limit. Severance payments don't count. 401k, IRA withdrawals do not count. Dividend and interest from investments don't count. Bonuses that were from previously earned income do not count. So there's a lot of things out there, a lot of extra earnings that you can have, a lot of income sources that you can have that do not count towards these income thresholds.
Wow. Interesting stuff. You know, in crunching the numbers, somebody wanted me to ask you this question, Jake in Austin, who's asked you a question a couple of months ago. And it's funny, it's around calculations, too. He said if he's trying to get rid of his credit card debt so he can make some of these plans for the future, is it better to attack the higher interest rates first, the ones with the higher interest rates?
Yeah, I think you're better off getting rid of them. Absolutely. If nothing else, if it's possible to even transfer them to a card with a lower rate or no credit, no rate interest, do that. But absolutely, because so little of your actual payment goes towards the reduction of the principal that you're almost just treading water. You aren't making any forward movement. You really have to overload the payment each month to make a dent in the credit card bill. So, yeah, absolutely. I would try and get rid of the higher interest ones, or if nothing else, move those towards a lower interest card.
And, of course, the thing is when you're getting ready to retire, you want to get rid of all that debt.
You know, you're absolutely right. You know, remember, every dollar that you're paying in debt is a dollar that could be in your pocket as your income. You know, and I tell people this all the time, even if it means working another year, working another 2 years to get rid of that car payment, maybe to really knock some money off the mortgage in the last couple of years, or get out of some credit card debt, do it. It's worth it, because you just put so much more money in your pocket in the long run. And once you really want to walk away from working, if this is what you want to do, you don't want to carry that debt into retirement with you.
Yeah, no kidding. That would be deadly, let's say. Mike Bonacorsi, as always, fun to chat with you. Some great advice. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Great. Thanks a lot, Kate, and happy holidays to everyone out there.
All right, and you too, buddy. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.